How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? This is Desmond Newts here, coming live from the basement of my home. It's late at night. It's about 9:30. Not too late for all you vampires out there, but for me, very late because I go to sleep around 10 o'clock. But I just got a new addition. This new addition is called the Professional Podcasting Microphone Kit. I'm excited about this because I'm going to be able to launch my podcast, which will be in correlation with my website called Living for Eternity Works at .wordpress.com. That's a plug, and that's Living for Eternity Works .wordpress.com. You may see some ads because I haven't paid for the premium yet, but I will, especially if I start making money off of this. I'm joking. To God be the glory. But I'm excited because I really want to see how it's going to be testing out this podcast. It's been something I've seen has been a great, great influence through Facebook, through YouTube, people really using the internet for good. And I want to contribute to that. I want God to bless it. I've had many conversations with so many people, from coworkers to schoolmates to colleagues to professors to presidents of corporations to everyday Joes and Janes, about some real deep but simple practical things of life, dealing with relationships, dealing with faith, dealing with sports, dealing with politics, dealing with parenting, dealing with family, when to go, when to stay, standards, us as Christian men, what does that look like, what does it mean to be a man, what does it mean to be a woman, all those type things. I've had countless conversations, and I hope to bring on a lot of people during that time. One of my first guests that I'm going to have actually in coming weeks is my uncle, who's also my pastor, Alonzo Utes, and we're going to be going over manhood. What is manhood biblically? What is the responsibilities of men? And how do we recapture our identity as men? So he's a pastor. It'll be a good time. Looking forward to it. These are conversations. You'll be able to sneak peek into what we always talk about, but I really think it'll be a blessing to you guys because it's been a blessing for me in my life and my preparation towards manhood. So, again, I'm Desmond Utes. This is the Living for Eternity podcast. I'm definitely thrilled, so thrilled to be here and be able to have the honor to speak to you guys. And I hope that this may transform your heart, make you think, make you ponder, be challenge you to think about things deeply, provocatively, intellectually. Don't leave your brain behind. I was listening to Vody Bachman, and he said the NAACP, they have a motto called that says, "The mind is a terrible thing to waste." And he said in the 21st century, I think that should be flipped and say that the mind is a terrible thing, because people choose not to think. It's all about feelings. It's about how they feel. Feelings does not dominate and does not suggest truth. Feelings are subjective. Truth is objective. Absolute. And there still is absolute truth. So I definitely want you to use your mind, bring your heart, bring your mind, bring your soul to this podcast as we talk about some really deep stuff. But for starters, let's talk about the inspiration behind the acronym LFE, which is life. Thinking about switching it to LIFE, living intentionally for eternity, but I like LFE, living for eternity. You still kind of get that life out of it. Use your imagination. This moniker came to me about a year ago. I was studying some scriptures, and I just kept seeing this pressing thought about an eternal perspective on life. And from that, God had challenged me through the Holy Spirit and through His Word and through other people to think beyond the now. Think beyond what is going to happen now. Think beyond what is going to give me pleasure now. Think beyond what brings me the best benefit now, but challenging me to think in an eternal perspective. I was talking to a young lady at my job. I shared something with her. She ended up sharing it with her nephews. That was pretty cool. But I shared with her simply, in the last year, I've been thinking more and more about children and raising a family, because I'll be getting married in June. And in that, because that's a very, very soft spot, an intimate spot to me, the family, and being a father and manhood, embracing fatherhood and being a husband is really, really important to me. So I was just thinking, man, the decisions I make from now on is going to affect not only me, but my wife and my children and my children's children and my children's children. I say that because Abraham lied. Isaac was a liar. Jacob was a liar. And from that, families got misconstrued and a lot of stuff happened. God was sovereign. God was graceful. He was merciful. But the pattern continued because it was never really dealt with. And Abraham was a friend of God. He's the father of our faith. So it's not a thing that is putting down Abraham. But what I am saying is the decisions that you make as a father, as a man or as a woman, will highly affect your children if you don't get right with God quickly. Before those things can be made right. And then if we don't have an eternal perspective about how this decision we made out of fear, out of lust, out of selfishness, out of anger, out of pride, affects those coming after us, we leave ourselves with a huge danger. You see it again with David and his sons, Solomon and his many wives, Absalom and trying to kill his dad, and David couldn't get over that. So you see passivity. Passivity does not lead to an eternal perspective on life. So that can be detrimental, truly detrimental. So I was just going through scripture and I was thinking about all these things. And I started thinking about many scriptures that challenge that belief. And I'm going to share it with you guys in a minute. I think about my Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything was eternal. He did care about the present now. He did care about the present. He fed people. He saved people. He healed people. So he definitely cared about the present reality. But he was more concerned about people's eternal state, where their soul will be going. One of the most famous scriptures that we know comes from John 3:16. And this did shape my perspective a little bit. But it's so... That's the one that you first learned in Sunday school. That's the one you first memorized. So... it's big, but in the context of what we're talking about living for eternity, this is what Jesus came for. It says in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Living for eternity. Christ came and God sent Christ. God came through Christ to give his people eternal life because he wanted us in eternity with him. And everlasting love, bliss, joy, blessing, and awe and worship of who God is and what he's done for us. That's why we sing worthy as the Lamb. You constantly see that in Revelation because he's worthy. His worthiness came from eternal perspective. That was a big thing for me. And like I said, I kept going through the scriptures and I just kept seeing it over and over and over and over again. Because this is an introduction, I want to emphasize a lot on the scripture so you can see where we're coming from. And everything else driven in this podcast is going to be coming from an eternal perspective. So I pray that this may bless you as I turn the pages trying to go through these scriptures. I pray that this may bless you so that you'll see how important it is to think beyond yourself and that you don't live for yourself, but you live for others. But first and foremost, as Christians, we've died to ourselves and now we live for Christ, because living for Christ is the greatest benefit to us and our fellow man. It helps us fulfill the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And that is commandments. That's not optional. That's a commandment. And God has been challenging me with that. God commands our love because he's worthy of it. He's the only one who can rightly accept and rightly be able to handle our worship. Things can't handle our worship. Only God can handle it. At First Baptist Church of Upper Marlboro, Pastor Zach says, only God is heavy enough to hold up our worship. Every other thing trying to hold up our worship is futile. It's kind of like a folding chair trying to hold up a Toyota Corolla. It just won't work. It's not heavy enough. The Toyota Corolla is too heavy for that chair. The object isn't heavy enough to hold up, wasn't sturdy enough to hold up to that worship or to that Toyota Corolla. So it's worship is heavy, and only God knows what to do with our hearts, because our heart will worship something. no matter what it is going to worship something. And we pray that that worship will go to God, who can handle it and is worthy of it. So, like I said, I want to go through some scriptures just so you can see the foundation of what we are talking about, where we get living from eternity from. One of the first ones I want to turn to and deal with is 2 Peter 2:11-14. It says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and hearing it alone. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. Also, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. So again, patience and endurance. We don't live for this moment. We live for what's to come. And in this living for what's to come, we keep ourselves holy, just like a wife wants to keep herself pure for her husband. She is tempted. Her flesh wants to give in. She doesn't want to endure. She doesn't want to be patient, but she looks forward to the joy of her husband. She looks forward to giving her husband a body untouched, unscathed by someone who didn't deserve it. It's a beautiful picture of purity in that. But again, we live with an eternal perspective, keeping ourselves to the one we love dearly. And that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And I didn't always think like that. And because I didn't always think like that, I suffered many consequences. Wrong relationships, wrong addictions, wrong habits, sin. Sin is a big thing when you don't think about eternity. The first sin, I plunged all humanity into sin. Because of Adam's sin, everyone became sinners. But because of Christ's righteousness, everyone has a chance to become righteous and children of God. But Adam didn't have an eternal perspective, and his passivity led to a humanity gone wrong. But God is so great in his grace, and he's still redeeming us. The Bible is a book of redemption. God redeeming his people over and over again. The saddest thing is people don't want to be redeemed by God. And I fit that category. We want to be complacent. We want to have convenience. We want comfortability. That's what sin is. It's comfortability, it's convenient, it's complacency. You're not challenged to grow beyond what you are. And God doesn't want that. That's not what God wants for us. He wants to live with eternal perspective. The next scripture we want to go to is Hebrews 12:1-2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding his shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Amen. Again, eternal perspective. It's this awaiting, it's this patience, and it's this enduring. And waiting is something greater than what this world can offer. An eternal perspective. Amen. Again, so we're going to go to 2 Timothy. We just want to keep it moving. 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. This is swan song, his going away. He tells Timothy, as for me, this is 2 Timothy 4:6-8. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Again, we have this reality of looking forward, patiently enduring, waiting, finishing the race. Marathoning, and a marathon is not a sprint, it's a marathon. We endure, we struggle, we fight. We fight to maintain the faith. We fight the good fight of faith. We do these things with an eternal perspective. You go back to Hebrews, it's the joy that awaits us that makes us endure. It's a hope that we have. It's a confident hope that we have that helps us endure the harsh realities of this wick in a dark world. And how do we stay grounded in it? I think we stay grounded by having an eternal perspective, living for eternity, not living for this life, but living for an eternal life, a life to come that will never end. it's a great perspective to have, and it's challenged me so much. Again, but keep it moving. Let's go to Jude verses 20 through 21. I know you guys gonna hear me flipping through the Bible. Maybe we can learn how to do some cuts. I gotta get a tech man. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in God's love." So again, with this, again, it's this awaiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. Wait, patiently waiting, patiently waiting. Nothing pains me more than waiting. Delayed gratification sucks. I hate it, but I see the benefit of it, because when you come on the other side of it, you have so much joy and peace that you discipline yourself. One thing that my uncle and my father always tell me now is, do what you have to do now so you can do what you want to do later. That's in a more practical sense as far as budgeting and saving money and things like that. But it's good for life too. We endure now because this is not our best life now. This is our hardest life now, because we have to deal with the reality of sin, our flesh, the devil in this world. And it's tough, but great is he who is in me than he who lives in the world. So it's tough, but God is with me. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a blessed promise that we have in Christ Jesus, because we reunited with him. Because we're united with him and we remain in his love, God's love is in us. And we can endure and wait patiently, holding strong to the promises of God and what he said he'll do for us. So I'm thankful for that. Let's go to 1 John 2:15-17 really quickly. It says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievement and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." Again, eternal perspective. Possessions, physical pleasures, craving for what we see. Very tangible things. All of these are very, very tangible things that we can access quickly. It offers comfort. It offers convenience. And it offers a complacency. All those things are very, very dangerous things. The dangerous three dangerous C's: complacency, comfort, convenience. And we always want to live a vacation lifestyle. But for the Christian, that is not our life. We fight. We struggle. We endure. We pray. We fast. We meet with saints, we talk, we pray, we rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat, until God, in his glory, in his sovereign will, in his wisdom, refreshes us, strengthens us. And he does it over and over and over again. He's done it for people in the Bible, and he has no respect of person. So let's keep it moving again. Eternal perspective. We're living with eternal perspective. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Let's get that cranked up really quick. It says, "Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So again, what are we running for? An eternal prize. We do this for a reason. We just don't do it just to do it. That's the worst way to do anything, just to do it. You don't know why you're doing it. In Psalms, it says, "When you gave me understanding, I learned how to obey your will." With understanding comes obedience. Will you understand everything? No. But when you understand, it makes it a little bit more palatable to obey. So again, we do this. We don't fight. We move with every step. We move with purpose. And living with an eternal perspective, every step is purposeful. Everything you do and say is purposeful. And Jesus Christ exemplified that the most. He said, "I don't say anything unless the Father told me to say it." That's eternal perspective. That's being purposeful in everything that you do. So again, that eternal prize again. So in Philippians, we go to Philippians 3 really quickly. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling me. Calling us. Paul is speaking about pressing towards the goal, that high mark of Jesus Christ. Pressing towards that goal of that heavenly prize of Jesus Christ, living for eternity. Then he goes on to say in verses 20 through 21, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Waiting, eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. We're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of this world, because this world is going to fade away one day, and everything in it, all the possessions, everything that we love, that's not of God, is going to fade away, and then we'll be standing. Eternity will press upon you, and what will you do? It's a lot to think about. It's heavy things to think about. But if your treasure is in Christ Jesus, what joy. He gives you the garment of praise for that burden that you've been carrying. So I'm thankful for that type of perspective. I'm really thankful. One of my favorite scriptures to read is in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. And he goes on to say, because you have this perspective, he goes on to say, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you, having nothing to do with sexual morality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wickedness. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So again, we live with this eternal perspective. We're putting things off. We're living. We're striving. We're putting things off. We're not conforming to the world, but being transformed to the will of God by getting to know who Christ is. And in this life with Christ, now we see the will of God with eternal perspective. And because of this eternal perspective, we're keeping ourselves holy, trying to keep ourselves holy. We're striving to keep ourselves holy in the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you can do it. In His power, God gives us the strength to remain hopeful, to have faith, and to fight the good fight of faith. It's by Him, through Him alone. And He'll make it happen, because He's promised to make it happen. God, Christ promised to render the church a bride unto God, holy and complete. And by His power, people who really have dedicated their lives and been converted through Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, by God's mercy, they will strive for holiness. Even when it seems like you're not attaining it at all, God is still working in you. And be encouraging that God is doing the work in you, giving you the desire to do His will. That's what Philippians tells us. So we're excited about that. Romans 8, 18 through 25 is a good thing to read too, if you have time to check that out. That's talking about the future glory. That's pretty much entails everything that we're sharing in this right now. I'm not going to read it per se, because it's a little bit lengthy, but it's dense, but it's good. It's the future glory we suffer now, because in the end, God's glory will be revealed. And because we are God's children, we will be a part of His glory. Because we endure now, we get what God wants in turn, what we want later. So that's a blessing. One of the greatest things that Christ said, not everything He said was great, so I don't want to limit Him, but one of the best things that Christ shared with me and that I see in the scriptures is the prayer of Jesus in John 17. When He explains what eternal life is, and it's so intimate. And when you hear it, I pray that you hear Christ's voice. He says, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. That's actually 1 John 1-5. And that's one of the, I remember I first read that after I got saved, and it blew my mind to read that alone at night, probably reading that, and to hear that eternal life is intimate knowledge, personal relationship. That's what separates our walk with Christ and every other religion's relationship. Not a set of standards to get God, but relationship to be in with God. God setting the parameters of relationship. God setting the standards of relationship. God initiating relationship with humanity. No other God has done that. No other God will, because they can. God is so good. He's really good. And this eternal life that he promises is the eternal life of knowing him and the one who he sent, Jesus Christ, through his spirit. We can know him more intimately and know his will. Okay, so last thing I want to say with this podcast, I'm definitely excited. I pray that what I've shared with you has been a blessing. But one thing that I definitely want to say really quick is, this is one thing that you probably hear a lot as we come up on the podcast, is this: living for myself changes nothing. Living for Christ changes everything. Having a relationship, a dedicated relationship, an intimate relationship, a committed relationship with Christ has changed everything about me. And I see in my times when I'm not committed to Christ, dedicated to Christ, loving Christ, I am Adam. I can do nothing right. I don't treat people well. I'm not disciplined. I don't care about things that much. I just care about me, my convenience, my comfortability, and my complacency. I'm okay just playing a video game all day. I'm okay just doing nothing. But with Christ, you can't do that, because he cares. What he cares about becomes so present from your heart because you're with him. Now you have to do the will of your Father. Christ says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. And in this new life with Christ, because you share his life, your life and your nourishment will come from doing the will of God, which does not lend itself to complacency, convenience, or comfortability. It's very uncomfortable. It's very inconvenient, a blessing inconvenience. And it's complacency is just not a, we press. It's never being complacent. We're always pressing for the high mark of Jesus Christ. So he changes everything. He changes everything about me. And he does it through the power of his spirit. And I'm so thankful for that. Because in myself, I couldn't do it. Would not do it. Really quick, Galatians 2:20 is going to be a blessing for this. For he says, sorry, I'm turning pages. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Luke 9:23-27 says this. If any of you wants, this is Jesus speaking, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. Amen. So think about it. Think about it definitely. For me, like I said, to live is Christ, to die is gain, as Paul says. And that's going to be a challenge. One thing that we said at Koinonia Ministries with my uncle Alonzo is faith that can't be tested can't be trusted. So everything that I'm saying now, God is going to test to see if that commitment is real. So again, this is just the introduction to living for eternity. I pray that this tad bit of information may bless you. This tad bit of wisdom, if it was any wisdom that came from God, it may bless you and may encourage you to strengthen you in your most holy faith, and that we can grow together, because I'm in it with you. You're in it with me, and we're in it for the glory of God. Everything we do is for the glory of God. living for eternity, man. It's going to be a blast. Take care. Blessings.